Well, we are beginning a new series called It Feels Like Home. So I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture. Turn to Genesis 28 and Exodus 25. All right? Genesis 28. Open your Bibles to Genesis 28 and then put a marker at Exodus 25. And the reason I feel that God gave me this title for the new series is because a lot of people have said to me, even before we moved into this building, they'll say, the first time I came to Gateway Church, it felt like home. It felt like home. And then as we begin to bring groups through this building, getting them acclimated, servants and leaders and ushers and deacons and people like that, people kept saying to me, Pastor, it feels like home. It just feels like home. And I believe that. I believe that it does. But what makes a house feel like a home? I don't know if you've ever thought about this. What makes a building feel like a church? We could sum it up in one word, love. Now, you might say, well, what about God? Listen to me. God is love. That's 1 John. 1 John says, God is love. So when you walk into a house and it feels like a home, you're sensing love, but you're sensing God in that home. And in the same way, when you walk into a building that feels like church and feels like home, and that we're a family, no matter how big the building is, it feels like home because God's here. And God's presence is what makes it home. So this first message, I'm going to complete the sentence, we're a family. In other words, the name of the series is, It Feels Like Home, We're a Family. Now let me complete that sentence. I'm going to do this for the next 3 weeks, and then I'll do a Christmas series after that. We're a family encountering God. We're a family encountering God. Now, let me give you three ways that you can encounter God. All right, here's number one, alone. You can be completely, totally alone, no one else there, and you can have an encounter with God. Now, look at Genesis chapter 28. This is one of the first passages God ever gave me after he gave me the name Gateway. Genesis 28, verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And the New Living Translation says gateway. This is the gateway of heaven. Okay, what made this place the house of God? Well, one thing, exactly what Jacob said. This is none other than the house of God because of this. Surely the Lord is in this place. I want you to know what makes this place the house of God. And this isn't just a nice building. This is a house of God. And church is about encountering God. Church is about having a meeting with God. God speaking to us and us speaking to God. We have a lot of room now, which we're grateful for. Apparently not as much room as we thought. We have wonderful sound equipment and video equipment. We can do all sorts of productions. By the way, how is it up there in the second level? How is it up there? Let me just tell you, the seats that will fill up the first for our Christmas production will be the second level seats. Because I've been up there, and you can imagine what kind of a Christmas production we're going to be able to do with this facility. And that just reminds me, invite people that don't know the Lord. Because we don't do it just to put on a play. We do it to be able to reach out and see people come to know Christ. So church, though, is about encountering God. Now, we've got all this nice stuff around us, but the thing that makes this place awesome is God's here. God is here, and we're going to meet with God. And you can meet with God alone. Jacob is completely alone, and he meets with God. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but do you know what happened? We're in Genesis 28. You know what happened in chapter 27? Let me just tell you, Jacob stole his brother's blessing. He steals Esau's blessing. And let me tell you a little bit about Esau. Esau was a hunter, and he was very, very good, the Bible says, at tracking and killing wild game. Now, when you get someone upset at you that knows how to track and kill wild animals, that might get your attention. Esau comes back, and Esau finds that he's stolen his blessing, and here's what he says, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill Jacob. Jacob then feels like he should take a vacation and get out of town for a few months or years, actually 14 years. So Jacob leaves. He's running from his brother, who's good at tracking and killing wild animals, not tracking and killing cows, but wild animals. And he has an encounter with God. Now, let me tell you why that encourages me. Because sometimes we think about people in the Bible as being perfect. We think about people in the Bible as never falling and never doing anything wrong. And we think, well, sure, God would meet with Moses, or God would meet with Abraham, or God would meet with David. Well, I could go down all those lines because Moses killed an Egyptian in a fight. Abraham lied about his wife and was going to let another man sleep with her to save his own skin. And David committed adultery and murder. Here's my point. We think they were perfect, and that's why God met with them. Let me tell you why God met with them. God met with them because they weren't perfect. God met with them because he loves people, and people make mistakes, and God loves to encourage people who make mistakes and help them to get over those mistakes. So I want you to understand, if you're here today and you're not perfect, you're a great candidate to meet with God. God can meet with you and wants to meet with you. And you can have an encounter with God alone, completely alone, when you're at your worst, when you've done something wrong, when you messed up, God can meet with you. So God can meet with you alone. Here's the second way you can have an encounter with God: with few. With few. In other words, a few other people. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Now, we started this with just one person. In other words, when you're alone, you can have an encounter with God. Okay, but if someone else comes in the room, just two or three people, and you're gathered in his name, guess what? If there are two of you, there are really three, because Jesus is there. And if there are three, there are really four. In a small group with friends, having coffee, on the phone, calling someone to say, "Hey, I need prayer." And here's one of the most powerful times you can meet with God. Most people miss this time, and that's a husband and a wife. Just the two of you could take a few moments at the end of your day and say, "Let's just pray over our day. Let's just pray over the kids. Let's pray over the job. Let's pray over the house. Let's just take a few moments and pray together." It took me a long time to pray with Debbie because I was very embarrassed. I just did not want to pray, even though after being saved for a few years, was in the ministry and would preach and would pray in public. It was intimidating to me to pray with her. She's a saint, you know. She's been a saint her whole life, though she only made one mistake, and that was marrying me. But God looked and had pity on her and saved me, so we're doing okay now. But I didn't want to pray with her. Men, let me tell you, the most powerful times you'll ever have in the presence of God are not just when you're alone, but when you pray with your wife. And you can pray with a few. You can have an encounter with God. Let me show you a few verses. Acts 2:46 says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple," that would be in a big group like today, "and breaking bread from house to house," in a small group. Acts 5:42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So, it says in the temple, which we're going to get to that in a moment, but that's another way we can have an encounter with God, but also in a small group. Now, remember, I told you earlier that Gateway Church started in our living room. We had about 30 people for the first meeting. That was including kids, and I think one woman was pregnant, so we counted her twice. But we met in the living room, in a home, few people, we worshiped, we prayed, we met with God, and we had an encounter with God in our home. Now, I actually tweeted this yesterday just to see how many people might know this. How many buildings has the South Lake campus met in? Now, this isn't including the Frisco campus and the North Richland Hills, and then when we met in Harkins Theater. This is just the times, and this also isn't included. For a while, we were in a building, and three or four times we had to meet in a school because they were using that building. So does anyone know how many buildings we've met in so far? Were you at another service? You can't say it if you were at another service. So anyway, it's eight. This is our eighth building. Let me go over them for you so you know. First of all, we met in our home. And then the very first public service we had of Gateway Church, we were at the Hilton in Grapevine, right by the Embassy Suites and Bass Pro Shops and Grapevine Mills and all that. We were at the Hilton. We were there 1 week because that's all we could afford. We booked it for 1 week. Then they told us the price. We said, "Okay, we don't need it the second week." we'll find somewhere else. So we were in the Hilton. The third building we were, and the second week of our public service, we met in the old Dollar Theater in Grapevine, which is now Uncle Julio's. It's much nicer now. As a matter of fact, they went out of business. The reason they went out of business is because people wouldn't even pay a dollar to go there. That's how bad it was. The first week we were there, I said, we're moving. As soon as we can find somewhere else, we'll move. The fourth building we met in was Christ Our King Church in South Lake, right up the hill by Chick-fil-A from our old building in South Lake. We met there on Saturday nights for 15 months. 15 months after the first month, three in the Dollar Theater and then one in the Hilton. For 15 months, the first 15 of the 16 first months, we met in Christ Our King, but only had a Saturday evening service because they had service on Sunday. So we only had that. And by the way, every time you drive by Christ Our King Church, I want you to bless them. Let's pray a blessing over them because they had a kingdom mindset to allow us to start there and use that building. Then we moved to the World of Learning Daycare Center, which is the old Memorial Baptist Church on Timberline across from Grapevine High School. You can't find it unless you know where it is. And it was a daycare during the week, and so lots of dirty diapers. You understand? So we would walk in there on the weekend, and I guess they changed all the babies in the bathrooms because the bathrooms smelled. And I was trying to share with the people one weekend, this is not our permanent home. This is not where we're going to stay. So anyway, I was trying to explain that to him, and I said, one of my all-time bloopers, I said, as a matter of fact, many of you don't know, but I get here before all of you get here, and that smell you smell in the bathrooms is me. Now, what I meant was that I took air freshener and went around and sprayed, but I forgot to tell them about the air freshener. So that was our fifth building. Our sixth building was the building on South Lake Boulevard, but we only moved into half of it. So when I talk about a sanctuary, when we first moved into the building on South Lake Boulevard, we built the whole shell, but we only moved into half of it. It seated about 650 people. As soon as we moved in, we had to begin finishing out the rest. We finished out the rest, and then we moved into that, which would have been our seventh sanctuary, and now this is our eighth sanctuary. Here's the reason I told you all that. Because every time we've moved, God has moved with us. Every time. And even though this building is a little bit different, this is a house of God. And people are going to meet God and have encounters with God here. And I want to assure you of that. I promise you, God's here too. And I'm excited about it. So, you can meet with God alone. You can have an encounter with God with few. Or number three, you can have an encounter with God with many. In a large sanctuary, just like this, you can still have an encounter with God. Let me read you a few scriptures. David said in Psalm 68:26, bless God in the great congregation. Revelation 7:9, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. Notice there's a great multitude, but notice this. Notice that the Lamb is right in the midst of them. Every time we meet together, the Lamb is here. He's right here. If just two or three are gathered, or two or 3,000 are gathered, the Lamb is here in our midst. Now go to Exodus 25. In Exodus 25, God is giving the children of Israel instructions about building the temple, the tabernacle. Exodus 25, look at verse 8. He says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And then look at verse 22. And there I will meet with you and I will speak with you. Let them make me a sanctuary and there I will meet with you and I will speak with you. God has always wanted a place, always, where he could meet with and speak with his people. And by the way, it says, let them make me a sanctuary. I just want you to know, this is not an auditorium. This is a sanctuary. This is a sanctuary for God and for his people to meet together and encounter him. Some of the most powerful times I've ever had in the presence of God have been in the great congregation. During worship, Like just a moment ago when we were just singing and worshiping God, many times in worship, I like to get on my knees. And I like to just soak up the presence of God. And I want to tell you about one of those times. There was a time a few years back when I was just worshiping and the presence of God was so strong and I just knelt down and I just felt like just putting my face down to the floor, and all of a sudden I could just see something in my mind. And this is what an encounter with God can be like. I saw this great hall, like a banquet hall from the old days. And when I say the old days, I mean like thousands of years ago. And I could see people dancing and celebrating and food, you know, going there. And I could see at the end of the hall was the king. And I knew it was Jesus on his throne. And he was huge. I can't even tell you how big he was. And he's sitting there with this smile on his face, watching his people celebrating. And at the other end of the hall were two huge doors that went all the way to the ceiling that were about probably as high as this ceiling. And all of a sudden, those doors opened up, and I walked in. And I was dressed like a soldier, like many men that and women that stood that we recognize today are veterans. It was like thousands of years ago. So I had a sword, and I had a breastplate on, and I had a helmet, had even like the Roman sandals. I looked kind of like a Roman soldier. And, by the way, I looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, just a... which is pretty much the way I look when I take my shirt off. If I took my shirt off, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. Actually, you would be shocked. So I walk in, and I know I'm the general. And everyone gets quiet, and everything parts. And I'm standing, you know, just a few yards in the door, and the king is there. And the king stands up, and he says, "Give me a report, general." And I said, "We're winning. The battle is fierce, but we're winning." And I had mud and blood all over me from like being in a battle. And the king said, "Have everyone leave." And everyone left. I see all this on the floor in worship, in a worship service. And everyone left, and they closed those great big doors. And when they closed those big doors, the king took his crown off. And I took my helmet off. And then he took his robe off. And I took my armor off. And then he laid down his scepter, and I laid down my sword. And then he held his arms out and said, "Come here, son. Come here." And I ran, and I jumped in his lap, and he held me in his lap. And it was like a great big man holding a two-year-old. That was the size. It was as if he were 15 or 20 feet tall. And I was just real small, like a child, real small child in his lap. And immediately, I just went to sleep. And he started stroking my hair. And then this big scar was on my arm. And he kind of looked at it, and he reached over, and he took his hand. And as he moved his hand, it was a scar on one side, and it was new skin on the other side. And he just began to do that over my whole body. And everywhere he'd move his hand, all the dirt, all the blood would go away, and it was like brand new skin underneath. And I remember he kissed my forehead, just like a father would do for one of his children. And I just rested, and I could feel myself getting stronger. And I knew I was just getting stronger and stronger, resting in his presence. And then I woke up. He said, "Son, I'm so proud of you." I said, "Dad, I love you so much." And I got up, and I walked back to where my equipment was. He put his crown on. I put my helmet on. He put his robe on. I put my armor on. He picked up his scepter. I picked up my sword. And the doors open. And everyone came back in. And now they're looking because I don't have any blood on me anymore. I don't have any mud. Totally different. And I can hear them saying, "No one knows what happens when the doors close. No one knows when they're alone what happens. No one knows." Then he held his scepter out. He said, "Go back to the battle, general." I said, "Yes, my king." And then he winked at me. And I thought, nobody knows that I'm just his kid. They all see me as a general. But I'm the king's son. They don't even know. And I winked back, turned around and walked out. And I know to this day that my strength comes from meeting with God. I know that. I know that. That's where my strength comes from. And that's where your strength comes from. But that happened in a worship service with a whole lot of people around me. But I had an encounter with God. That's what's going to happen here in this new building. We're just going to encounter God. I want to show you one more scripture because I know you came prepared today. We've been talking about it for a few weeks now to give a first fruits offering. Let me show you one more scripture in Exodus 25. This is when they're building the tabernacle. Verse 1 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly, with his heart, you shall take my offering." Now, they gave a willing offering. I want to remind you, every offering we've ever given at Gateway Church has been a willing offering. I never ever want you to give under compulsion. I never want you to feel manipulated to give. I only want you to give because you love God and because you love the kingdom of God and you give it from a willing heart. But I want to ask you today, this will be the first offering in this new building. It's a first fruits offering. And I believe there's a blessing on this offering. And I want to challenge you to give a large offering, to give a sacrificial offering. And it's not, even though we're going to apply it to the building, it's not for the building, it's for the Lord. And it's to the Lord. And maybe you've never given a sacrificial offering. Maybe you've done it many, many times. Maybe you gave very sacrificially at the beginning. But here's a time when we can give the first offering. Now, maybe you didn't come prepared to give this weekend. Maybe you don't have your checkbook with you. That's okay. In a moment, we'll come and give. I want everyone to give something. But ask the Lord for an amount. Let the Lord give you an amount and then give it sometime this week. Or you could bring it next weekend. It'll still be the first fruits offering, all right? So let the Lord give it to you, and you give it in your heart today, and then follow through sometime this week. You can go and do it online if you want to. You can mail a check in, or you could bring it next week, however you want to. But I want us today to let God speak to our hearts. We call offerings like this miracle offerings. The miracle is not how much money comes in. It's never been about the money. The miracle is that God speaks to us. We hear him and we obey, and our obedience releases a blessing. That's what a miracle offering is. So I want you to pray. Before you get ready to give, and we'll do this at all the campuses, South Lake and North Richland Hills, and I want to say I'm so proud of the North Richland Hills campus, because when we gave commitments for this building, the North Richland Hills campus, by the way, committed as much as the South Lake campus. And what that shows is that we're one church, even though we meet in different locations. I know people in Southlake that gave to the North Richland Hills campus that have never attended there. But they gave because we're one church, and we see it as that. So I want all the campuses to give during this offering. About a month ago, I walked through the building with James Robison. James is one of our apostolic elders. And he was so overwhelmed, just overwhelmed by the presence of God and by what God's going to do. And he shared with me some of it, and I said, "James, I'd like for you to share that with the congregation." So he came in and spoke and shared that, and I want you to hear what he shared. So watch the screens.
A few weeks ago, I walked through this beautiful church facility with Pastor Robert Morris. To say that I was overwhelmed by the presence of God, the power of God, and the manifest love of God seems an understatement. As Robert and I stood on the platform and we looked out, where thousands of people will sit week after week, and ultimately as a result of what they hear and the transforming power of God's Word, His truth, His abiding presence in their lives, the impact it'll make on millions of people, was literally one of the most gratifying moments of my life. As I walked through the facility with Robert, and I saw all of the wise attention, the investment of every dollar in lives and in eternity, I found myself overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude when I looked at the Children's Center and saw the thoughtfulness, the watch care, the love that was invested in your children, our children and grandchildren. I said, "Thanks be to God." Because we've helped children all over the world who are starving, who are seeking a way to cover up their misery. And what I see here is love covering up the pain in so many lives and building families and relationships so that children have hope for the future. And they're able to build lives on a solid, unshakable foundation of God's truth. I thought about the teenagers and all that are going to be reached and inspired here. And the only extravagance that I saw in this beautiful facility, the only extravagance, was extravagant love. God's love for hurting humanity. God's love for you and all God will love through you. I saw hungry people, thirsty people, just as I've seen the starving physically and those who are thirsty physically find food and water and hope all over the world because of the love of God through people like those who attend this church. I saw spiritually hungry people. I saw spiritually thirsty people coming here to freely partake of the water of life and the bread of God's truth. I had to pause and say, God, thank you. Thank you for the wise oversight of the construction, the design, all of the thoughtfulness and all of the wisdom. And God, thank you for every person who invested love and made a gift to make this possible. I was so inspired that Betty and I are going to make another special gift, for us a very large gift at this point in our lives, and would encourage everyone to do it, because I'm telling you, we are sharing God's greatest gift, His love, His life, real meaning through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Gateway, for inspiring the church in the earth to become all that God designed and destined us to be. Thank you for being a light piercing the darkness. God bless you. Thank you for caring, and thank you for sharing God's love so freely.
Well, I want you to pray. Take a moment and pray and ask the Lord. Let the Lord put an amount on your heart. If you're married, obviously you need to talk about it. If you have two different amounts, the one who has the higher amount is hearing the Lord. You know, giving is a joy. It really is. I want you to understand, the Lord spoke something to me about this offering, and He's only done this two other times my whole life. But I need you to hear me on this. There's a blessing on this offering. There's a blessing on people who give sacrificially this offering, and I know that. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I believe giving is a blessing. And if you've been around here any length of time, you believe that too, because you're the greatest giving church I know. I don't know of any church that gives more than you give. And I'm so grateful for that. But I was at a church a while back speaking, and the pastor was talking about the offering. And he said, now I want you to give in this offering, but he said, but if you're a guest here, this offering is not for you. I don't want you to give if you're a guest. And I know he was doing that with integrity. I understand that. He had a heart of integrity. I believe that. But when he said, if you're a guest, I don't want you to give, this offering's not for you, the Lord said to me, He doesn't believe giving is a blessing. Because why would you tell guests that they couldn't get in on the blessing? I mean, think about it. If I said, now when you leave, there are some 18-wheelers out here in the parking lot, and they're packed with clothes from Nordstrom's and Saks, and I want all of you to go out and get as many as you want, but now this is just for our members. This isn't for the guests. You think, well, why can't the guests be blessed too? Well, I just want you to know, if you're a guest here today, you can be blessed too. You can give today, and you can be blessed too. So I want to encourage you to take a moment and pray and hear the Lord about an amount, and then give something, even if you're not prepared to give today, and then go home and go online, transfer the funds, do whatever you have to, write a check, bring it next week. But on the memo line, you could put First Fruits or Project 114. The First Fruits offering will go toward this. So I just want to encourage you, pray, seek the Lord, see what God says to you. Let the Lord challenge you. Some of you have never given like a really sacrificial amount. And I promise you, right now some of you have needs, or you're facing something, you're saying, boy, we really need God to come through in a big way. Well, step out in faith before God comes through. Step out in faith and let God speak to you and give a sacrificial offering. So take a moment and pray. Just close your eyes and just get alone with the Lord for a moment. And just say, Lord, you might even be honest. Say, Lord, it's hard for me to hear you sometimes on these offerings. I don't really know what you own or what to say. But Lord, please just give me an impression of an amount. And let the Lord give you an impression. Some of you may be like Debbie and me. We came with an amount ready to give last night, and the Lord increased it. And he does that many, many times. We'll come up with an amount that is a large sacrificial amount, and the Lord will normally increases it by like 50%. And he just spoke more to us to give. So this is a great opportunity that we have to worship the Lord with our giving as well as with our lives. So just take a moment and pray. And then after that, after we do this, I'm going to pray. After I pray, we'll stand and we're going to have a worship song. And because I wanted to be a part of worship. And if you don't have to leave, please don't leave. All right? If you don't have to. If you have to, we understand. But there are baskets here at the front. So we're going to come and give our offering at the altar. And if you're in the second level at South Lake, there are baskets up there as well. So pray and give as the Holy Spirit directs you, all right? Lord, I pray that you will take this offering, that, Lord, you will bless those who give it, and that you will bless it so that we could feed multitudes. In Jesus' name, amen.